Welcome to the Here to Evolve podcast. I'm Josh.
And I'm Alessandra. And in this podcast, we take topics from both health and fitness, as well as the business side of things.
We run two businesses, SD Evolution and Fit Coach Pro, and have a pretty unique perspective because we've had a lot of success, but we are not quite at the top of the food chain yet.
Our mission is to help break down these topics so you can learn in an easy to digest manner and apply them into your daily life.
In today's episode, we are giving you the five do's and don'ts of getting toned. And I say toned in quotation marks because it's sarcasm.
But
we'll show you how to get fit. We'll show you how to get lean, how to get strong.
We're speaking your language, okay?
Speak it a language.
This continue.
Nope. Oh, all right. Three episode rule. If you're listening beyond the third episode, you have not left a review, stop listening. Just kidding. Keep listening, but hit pause and do a quick five-star review. Don't even have to leave a paragraph. Just hit five stars. Share us on social media. Tag us. Again, we are doing this to give you guys free tools. I know it sounds like we're beating a dead horse if you guys are committed listeners, and especially if you have already left a review, but this is how we grow the audience. This is how we help more people. More people need to hear these messages. Through awareness, we create change, and it is your responsibility to help us create more awareness to create more change. Returning listeners, you already knew that. Go ahead.
Women are still frustrated that they are not getting toned. They are not seeing progress, but they are still eating 1,500 calories or less every day. They are using 3-pound weights and doing Pilates every day with no strength training. They are doing things that are not allowing them to see the progress that they want to see. So we are going to break it down for you guys today. Five do's, five don'ts of getting fit, lean, confident in your body, aka toned to some of you.
But I do want to just clarify real quick with what you just said, why you're not getting quote unquote toned with that methodology. For most people, if you are focused specifically on losing weight, and we're going to dive into this in one of the don'ts, you are going to end up skinny fat. So you're not going to be more toned. You're just going to be a smaller version of what you are right now. So to get that look you're actually working towards, you have to improve your body composition overall. It's not just about losing weight. It's about building muscle. So there are some different levels to this, but let's dive right in. Number one,
the first do of getting toned is to increase your protein intake. And I've said this time and time again, but it's something everybody can be reminded of, because if you're not tracking regularly, I guarantee you are not eating enough protein. I can promise you that. So where do we want to be with protein intake to gain muscle mass, which is going to help you achieve that toned look, or simply maintain what you have? Like, we don't want to lose any more muscle mass, because then you're going to not look toned at all. So if you want to achieve this, you need to have at minimum 0.7 grams per pound of your body weight at the very minimum for protein intake. And that can go upwards of 1.3 at the max.
Yeah, if you're in an extreme deficit, I don't want to say extreme, if you're in a deficit, there's some data that shows up to 1.3 grams per pound of body weight is beneficial towards maintaining or potentially slightly improving muscle growth.
Because protein is very satiating. So this is another thing that comes up, because a lot of women are under eating. So when they start to increase their protein intake, they feel really full all the time and they're like, I can't hit my calories. Well, your body's going to adapt. So you kind of just have to power through it at first. But you know, there's that range there for you. So as long as you're somewhere between that 0.7 to 1.3 gram per pound range, you're going to be golden. You're going to give your body the optimal environment to gain or sustain muscle mass. Now, the big question that comes up a lot with this one, if somebody is currently overweight or obese, do they base it on goal weight? How do they set their protein intake?
Yeah, ideally it's gonna be set on your goal weight. So if you think you should be around 150 pounds, set it at 150. And that's the easiest thing to do. If you are, you know, you're not very overweight, you just want to improve your physique, just whatever you weigh, that's the amount of protein you're going to take in grams. So if you're 180 pounds and, you know, it's not that you're grossly obese, you have a ton of change to make. It's just, I want to look better, I want to feel better. Just set it at 180. Don't worry about calculations. What you weigh is what you're going to take in for protein. On the other side of that coin, what we just talked about, the don't is slashing calories with the singular goal of losing weight, because weight loss is not the same as fat loss. If you are losing weight and not prioritizing fat loss, you are just becoming skinny fat. You are a smaller version of what you currently are. What we all want to be is, or what we want to do is improve body composition. We want to build muscle. We want to lose fat to appear more toned. I'm not going to say that word again, to appear more lean, and just appreciate our physiques more. So we are not just eating nothing. We're not eating minimal. We're not having salad three times a day with nothing on it. We are making sure we're getting in optimal amounts of protein. We are going to keep our calories as high as possible for as long as possible. And this is one of the most frustrating things that our clients deal with when they do come on with us. Some of them get it right away. Some of them learn it along the way. By keeping them as high as possible and not necessarily looking to lose 3 pounds a week, we can continue focusing on progress in the gym, which is going to be a point we'll touch on in further depth here in a few minutes. So as we're getting stronger, as we are consuming adequate amount of calories and protein, we are able to build muscle. We are able to prioritize fat loss versus weight loss and actually move towards the look that we are working for.
Not only that, but when you start off with lower calories, you don't give yourself a lot of wiggle room when it comes to continuing to make progress. Most people are going to need macro and calorie adjustments in a fat loss phase. So if you're starting off at 1500 calories, there's not a whole lot of wiggle room there for you to go down and continue to see the progress that you want to see. So you might initially see, you know, a big chunk of fat loss happen, but you're going to feel like crap, and then your adherence is going to drop because most people are not going to be able to adhere to low calories for the longer term. And even if you think that you are, you're probably going over on the weekends or just not adhering across the board completely. So we don't want to just slash calories down. That's just setting you up for failure in the long term. You're not going to see the progress that you want to see. We want to take the slow and steady approach to get you to the body fat level that you need to be to appear toned in a way that is healthy and in a way that makes you feel good in the gym, outside of the gym, across your entire life.
So I alluded to this in our last episode in regards to maintenance being a silly phase, because you're either moving forward or you're moving backwards in all phases of life and all phases of business. To clarify that here, in a quote unquote maintenance phase, you're not actually just maintaining where you're at. When you're consuming maintenance level calories, which a lot of you, if you're in that situation she just brought up in regards to low calories from the start, maintenance phase is going to be one of your most successful phases because calories are going to stay at a sufficient level, but we're going to focus on crushing those workouts, progressing as much as we can in those workouts while eating the right things in the right amounts to not gain weight, but not necessarily to lose weight. So we might slowly increase your calories over time via a reverse diet to fuel that performance while not losing weight, but improving body composition during that. So while it is a quote unquote maintenance period, you are still improving. So that's kind of what I was referring to in that last episode where you're either getting better or you're getting worse. Maintenance isn't an actual thing. Maintenance here is just a verb for an action for a phase that we're in that still includes progression. We're still getting better in a different type of measurement, away from the scale. So that's what we're talking about there. But to dive into our second do, which is building directly on what we just talked about, lift heavy progressively. So progressive overload is the godfather principle when it comes to weight training, to resistance training, weightlifting. We want to get better over time. We want to increase volume over time. If we lift the same weight every single week for the rest of our lives, we're not going to force an adaptation. We're not going to create change. We have to slowly increase that, whether it's by, you know, getting stronger, we're going to add 5 pounds here, 10 pounds there, or adding an additional set, going from 3 sets to 4 sets if our recovery allows for it. If, you know, we can't do those things or pretty tapped recovery wise, there are additional force volume methods we can utilize as far as drop sets, as far as rest pause sets, where we finish our last set, we strip 25 pounds off the bar and then go again to failure, or rest pause would typically be in your 12 to 15 rep range. You complete that set, rest 15 seconds, jump back into failure. So progress over time can be utilized in a bunch of different ways to make that happen. But when it comes to improving body composition, getting leaner, building muscle, losing fat, lifting heavy, progressing over time are non-negotiables.
The don't here is do not follow your favorite Fitfluencer, as you called it. They're swipe through workouts. Now, in this day and age on social media, swipe through workouts are kind of dead, in my opinion, but they have been replaced with do this exercise to fix your mommy pooch, or do this exercise to shred body fat 30 minutes a day, twice a week, or whatever the heck they're saying these days. Do not fall for that crap. That is not how this works. There is not one singular exercise that's going to burn fat. That's called spot reduction, and spot reduction is not a thing in this industry. It's not something you can't choose where your body loses body fat from. It happens through an overall calorie deficit, and it's going to happen at an overall rate. So keep that in mind as you are scrolling through social media. The main thing here is that this is not progressive. Like Josh touched on, if you're just doing random workouts every week, you're not giving your body a chance to actually get better and to improve and to actually grow muscle and see progress. So that is number one. And kind of along with that, you know, you see right now it's very trendy to do Pilates and have these 3-pound weights and do a lot of these very isometric movements. And it's not that those things are bad. I'm not going to bash on Pilates. I'm not even going to bash on the isometric movements. But at what point, like, your purse is probably heavier than those 3-pound weights. I know for a fact your toddler is heavier than those 3-pound weights. If you like to do those things and, you know, you want to throw that in maybe once or twice per week, great. Do it because you enjoy it, but know that that is not going to build muscle. That's not going to tone your body. That's just not how it works. So if you want to do those things, enjoy it. But if you're just doing them because you think that they're going to result in a certain physique or longer and leaner muscles, like, you can't change the length of your muscles. Everybody's length of their muscles is genetic. So we cannot change that. But if you want to appear toned, it's about the calorie deficit and it's about actually progressing your lifts, lifting heavy, pushing yourself. And that's not to say high reps are necessarily a bad thing. Like, we have the data right now that shows no matter if you're doing low reps, which is like less than 6 reps, or you're in that moderate range, which is what, 8 to 12 reps, or, you know, the higher rep ranges, which is 12, 15 plus reps. It's not that one of those is better than the other when it comes to building muscle mass, but we want to make sure we're lifting at the right intensity, leaving 1 to 2 reps short from failure, no matter what rep range that you're in. And a lot of us are very short on time. So to do the 15 plus rep sets, it's going to take you a lot longer to get to that close to failure range, which you probably just don't have the time to do that. So you're going to have a much more efficient workout when you're actually pushing more of that moderate, sometimes that lower rep range, and lifting heavy.
Time aside, to be perfectly honest with ourselves, most of us, you know, in the 15 plus, whether it's 15, 20, 30, however many reps, just honestly are not getting to 1 to 4. 1 to 4 is the range you need to be in to see that progress. We're not 1 to 4 reps short of failure if we get to 30 reps. We're exhausted. We are completely winded, or our muscles are on fire, but we're not actually 1 to 4 reps
from failure. Let's talk about that, the fire, the burn. A lot of people chase the burn, but that's not necessarily... that doesn't necessarily mean you're building muscle because you feel that burn, right?
Right.
So, you know, it's fine if you like to feel certain things working. Like, I think that's great. But understand that you can feel the burn running a marathon, and that doesn't mean you're growing muscle mass. So doing 1,000,000 pulse squats does not mean you're growing muscle mass if you're not actively lifting heavy enough to actually produce a change there. So
that's why the heavier weights tend to be more effective, is, you know, it's less negotiating with ourselves. Oh, I'm done. That's about 1 rep short. You're about to fail. If you're lifting 6 reps, 8 reps, 10 reps, you can tell when you're about to fail. You might have a couple more you could squeeze out if you have a spotter, but you can be more honest with yourself in that regard. Whereas we can negotiate a little bit more as we get into the 15s and the 20s and the 30s, not always 15, you can still tell, but you get the point. Our third do, move your body outside of your workouts. So non-exercise activity thermogenesis. This is just something we need for longevity. It's something we need for daily vitality. Going for those walks with your kids, playing in the backyard, running around, just fun things, going for hikes. Some may elevate your heart rate more than others, but the point is just movement. We're moving our bodies. And that's one of the most efficient ways to actually lose body fat. We're not in such an intense state where we are, you know, compromising a ton of calories and recovery and muscle growth and progression in our strength. But general movement tends to help very, very significantly with fat loss.
Yep. And the don't to go along with that is do not hyper focus on just extensive cardio. A lot of people, when they start their fitness journey or maybe they start running, they think that that is the key to fat loss. And as we touched on in the previous point, you need to strength train for health and for these specific goals of appearing toned. But do not overdo it with the cardio. We know cardio is important. I would argue most people are probably not overdoing it with cardio. We're not doing enough cardio at this day and age. But there's going to be some of you who just do, you know, you go to your F45 classes 3 times per week. Then you hop on the treadmill and do some 10K training or, you know, whatever your situation is. Just make sure you're not doing too much when it comes to the cardio stuff, that it's impacting your recovery and impacting your ability to lift heavy and impacting the other areas, if that makes sense.
Cardio is not very effective for fat loss. Does it burn some calories? Yes. But we are using cardio as a tool to improve cardiovascular health, to decrease mortality. You know, by having better heart health and better blood flow, we are supplementing our training, our lifting even more, because we can develop nutrients efficiently to our muscles. So, you know, we're not getting winded in the middle of those sets. We're recovering better. So those are really the tools we're looking for from cardio versus, hey, I need to go jump on this for 45 minutes to burn some calories. It's not the case here. Again, we've been using this term a lot, but you're stepping over $20 bills to pick up those nickels. Speaking of, this is the term we've really been using that with, do prioritize sleep and recovery. But as far as prioritizing sleep and recovery, we need 7 to 8 hours of sleep every single night. We need not just that quantity, but also quality. So making sure we are setting ourselves up pre going to bed, that final hour, you know, staying away from electronics, dimming the lights, maybe replacing some bulbs in your bedroom with amber, those red lights, just keeping that down. Reading instead of scrolling or binging Netflix, little things that are going to allow us to go through our sleep cycles. And we talked about alcohol, we talked about smoking weed. Those things will put you to sleep, but you're not actually getting restorative sleep from that. So just because you're sleeping the correct quantity doesn't mean the quality is there. You can sleep 10 hours after, you know, going out one night, but your sleep is going to be dog shit compared to if you had slept 7 or 8, but you had took care of yourself the night before and got into the correct routine there. So if we are not sleeping, if we are not recovering, if not prioritizing those rest days, we're not seeing the progress that we're putting all that work in to see. This is really, you know, the final piece to get us over that hurdle is you do all the hard work during the day. You need to realize those gains every single night.
You can foam roll, you can cold plunge, you can sauna, you can do all of the biohacking until the cows come home. But if your sleep sucks, you cannot replace that. So that is probably the most important aspect of your biofeedback if you're not seeing progress. And if you're somebody out there who's like, I do fine on 5 to 6 hours. I'm one of the people that can just sleep 5 to 6 hours. You're not special, not to be mean, but you just are so used to that that you don't know how much better you can feel with even just one extra hour. So if you are not getting that right now, take an honest look at what your bedtime routine and what your evening looks like so that you can make sure that you get that.
The don't is that was, don't
what? That was kind of the don't, no?
Yeah, don't sleep 5 hours with the intent to wake up early and work out with taking no rest days. So just to kind of finish that conversation, this is what we've been using, the, you know, stepping over $20 bills to pick up nickels. Waking up very early to do your fasted cardio, to get your weight training in at 4:30, you know, before the sun comes up, which I'm all about. But if you're going to bed at 11 and waking up at 4, you're not realizing the progress that you think you should be. For the work you're putting in, it's very inefficient compared to going to bed earlier or waking up a little bit later if you can. If you can't wake up later, then go to bed earlier. You know, don't stay up until 11. If you have to wake up at 4, make sure you're in bed by 8 o'clock, 8:30. Get that sleep in so you can actually take advantage of the progress.
And honestly, my opinion on rest days has shifted a little bit over the years. we need rest days. I'm not going to say we don't need rest days, but since most of us are so sedentary every single day, your rest day is not you just not doing anything. Still get out for a walk. Still move your body. Still hit your step goals. You're not just literally melting into your couch or your work desk chair to do nothing on your rest day. You're still moving. So don't get into that mindset either. But we do need rest days from our programming, from our prescribed training.
Yeah, you got to let that central nervous system recover.
All right, number five, do is optimize your gut health with nutrient diversity and adequate fiber. And notice that when I say optimize your gut health, I'm not telling you to take a gut health supplement or pill or drink or whatever the heck they are putting out there these days. Even fiber, you should not be taking a fiber supplement if you're not focusing on getting fiber from whole foods first, because then you're missing out on a ton of quality nutrients that are going to help you feel better and feel good. So, you know, with gut health, the best thing we can do for that is focus on our nutrient diversity. And that means we're eating our fruits and veggies and plants, obviously, but getting diversity from that. So we're not eating the same exact meals every single day for years on end, because that's not helping you either.
Which is really our don't. So don't eat the same five foods every day for months on end, a la a meal plan. Meal plans can be effective to get you into a routine. So if you are working with a registered dietitian, not a nutritionist, a registered dietitian for your meal plan, it can help you jumpstart things. It's not necessary. It's not needed. It can be useful in certain situations. We still see the benefit in utilizing an outline of targets in regards to calories and macros and teaching you the types of foods you should be filling in to hit those targets while enjoying yourself in moderation. But it always comes back to nutrient diversity, fiber diversity. You've talked about this a lot. Every different source of fiber feeds a different species of your gut microbiota, which all produce their own superpowers, whether it's hormones, you know, some produce vitamins, just balancing the whole deal in regards to overall health. Huge, huge part of the puzzle. So don't just say, hey, I'm losing weight. I'm doing very well with my chicken and broccoli and rice, and I'm going to do this for dinner every single day. Mix it up. Even if it's the same base of a stir fry of your chicken or your steak on top of some rice, and then just change up the veggies you're throwing on there. Throw some olive oil, throw some spices. Change what you're consuming. They say eat the rainbow. It's a very Skittles-esque thing to say, but it does the job. You want to make sure you're getting things from different sources. But those are our five do's and don'ts of getting quote unquote toned. Do increase protein intake. Do not slash calories with the focus of just losing weight. Do lift heavy progressively. Do not follow your favorite fitfluencers swipe through and opting for lightweight for thousands of reps, very short of failure. Do move your body outside of your workouts, go for hikes, play with the kids, run around outside. Do not hyper-focus on extensive cardio. It's a tool for cardiovascular health. It is not going to help you, you know, improve body composition as efficiently as everything else we talked about. Do prioritize sleep and recovery. Do not sleep 5 hours with the intent to wake up early and work out. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Do prioritize nutrient density and diversity, fiber, mix it all up. Don't eat the same five bland foods every day for months on end. That wraps it up. Where can they find you?
I'm at Alessandra Skutnik.
I'm at Josh Skutnik.
Everything else is linked in the show notes.